What's up, learners? Welcome to the Learning Experience Podcast. This is actually last week's episode. If you want today's episode, that'll be on our Patreon right now. You can get it a week early if you contribute. It's patreon.com/thelearningexperience. So thanks if you do that. And if not, share it on social media. But more importantly, enjoy this one. We're live. Today I'm talking with Patricia Macia. She's from Spain, but has grown up in an international environment. Very interested in migrants and how to support them using through change management and facilitating, plus creating masterminds, helping people overcome barriers and adapt to new environments, both for her work and for migrants. So great to have you here, Patricia. We're going to talk about masterminds today because this is a super interesting topic that I haven't found many people to know a lot about. And you shared an awesome tool and an awesome framework to how to create them. So welcome. And I'd love to know, how did you get into masterminds and what is that? What are they for you?
Well, actually, thank you, Oscar, for inviting me today. Actually, I just arrived by chance, as you said, actually, I love working with migrants. It was never my main job, but I have always tried to help migrants overcome barriers and try to adapt to their new destination as fast as possible. And for that, I use my experience, but I also try to gather groups and try different techniques. And once, 3 years ago, when I came back to Spain from Canada, someone invited me for a mastermind. It was actually for digital nomads, but I started using that for migrants too. Actually, it's just a group of 4 or 10 people, something like that, that gather regularly, like once per month, every 2 weeks, once a week. You can decide that within the group, but the most important point is that the group needs to gather regularly, and the purpose is to help every member to overcome their barriers and achieve their personal goals.
Awesome.
So it actually helps, like a team group that you could have at work, but it's a bit different because there is not a common goal. It's very personal goals, and actually it helps a lot too because the different members will have different perspectives and different knowledge. So actually you use that common knowledge.
Yeah, now that is awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, okay. So from my understanding then, masterminds, yeah, a group of people that gather, they each have their individual problems, but they're kind of related. And then small groups of people, right, that come together to solve each other's problems, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
It's very simple, actually.
Yeah, the definition.
It's very simple, but very effective.
Yeah, that's exactly the idea. And I had known about this before, but I was always a bit hesitant of like, how do I start it? And what's an ideal process to make sure people can understand and tackle each other's problem? Because you can't just say, I have this problem, I need to work more efficiently or whatever. But then mm-hmm. how do people bounce ideas back and forth, and what's a good way to do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I don't know if we can call that a methodology because it's very simple. But let's imagine that the group is around the table. So they are, for example, 10 people. Normally, there is like a facilitator or a mediator that the only thing actually that he does is try to focus on the mastermind. Mm-hmm. So people don't start speaking about their weekend and things like that. And we can say there are like 2 rounds. So in the first round, each member will talk about a barrier that they are having at this point. Mm. Actually, it's actually important to mention that one of the things you need to define before starting the mastermind is the scope of the mastermind. So let's say, for example, the group is about learning. or the group is about marketing, of course it will be very different.
Yeah.
If the group is about, for example, migrants adapting to a new destination.
Okay. Does the topic need to
Right?
be very broad, such as marketing, or should it be more focused? Is that better, actually?
As you wish, I guess, but I guess that it's, I think it will be beneficial to have like to find a middle point on that. Because, for example, if you want to talk about, for example, the one we had, it was digital nomads and how to find jobs and how to find an income as digital nomad. But actually, if you have different roles, there are people working on marketing, people working as lawyers, people working as web developers, you have different point of view, different points of view. So if you focus too much on a scope, probably you lose that part, right? To
True.
have different points of view.
Yeah.
But it's important to have a scope defined so people can give a feedback on that too. But probably, I mean, if I had to choose, probably I will prefer to have a wide scope because people, if even if they don't work exactly on what you work, they will have probably some advice.
Yeah, so true that getting the different opinions is also important.
Yeah, and that's actually the advantage of this. So as I was saying, actually, for some in this first round, every person will talk about their barriers now. For example, I'm not being productive at this moment, or I need to do an Excel and I don't know how to use an Excel, or I have this product and I don't know where to find my clients, or I don't know what my next step should be. Actually, any
Yeah.
barrier is accept. And that's the good part. It's not your work team, actually. Your boss is not there. So you can be open about your barriers. You can say that you're not sleeping well. You can say anything your barrier is, right?
And it's important, I guess, to come to the mastermind space with like creating a safe space and a place to that everybody can be open.
For sure, that's mandatory. That's the critical point.
Yeah.
And actually, I use that a lot too in a co-working space I used to work. And the good part is there were people coming from different companies, so they were open about some problems that they couldn't be open in their own companies. So it helped a lot.
That's
And the
true.
point is that. Yeah. I mean, how many times we are stuck in a barrier just because we are embarrassed to talk about that,
For sure.
right? And once you say that open, you start finding solutions.
Okay, then one question comes to mind. Hopefully it doesn't sidetrack us too much. But is it a good idea to get people into a mastermind who don't know each other? Or is it better?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, or
I mean, they will know each
a
other
little bit.
for sure. A lot, a lot. I mean,
Yeah, afterwards. Yeah.
yes, people get very close, like team members or friends, or it's like a mutual aid group. People help each other a lot and they keep in contact a lot because it's a regular group.
That's true.
So actually, is that we were talking about the first round. The first round, each member talks about their barrier at this moment, and the rest of the group give advice or just give possible solutions that come to in their mind. It's actually, I mean, they are not obliging this person to take any of these solutions. They are just talking openly about, do you know this software? Or I know this group that maybe you could use to find some clients, or things like that. Or I know this person that can do that for you, any kind of solution. So that will be the first round. And then the second round is even more important. In the second round, you need to engage in a commitment. You need to, well, you need to commit to a result that you will present in the next mastermind. So let's say
Ooh.
that you have the next mastermind is in 2 weeks. You need to think about the result that you will be able for sure to do for the next mastermind, even if it's small, but you need to advance. You need to start working in the right direction.
Okay.
Because you need to come to the next mastermind and you need to say, I did it. Even if it was only, I will take a decision, so small as that, I will hire one person, or I will post something to try to hire one person, anything specific
okay.
that you will achieve in the next mastermind. That's actually the critical point.
It sounds like a very hard or a direct decision that needs to be made. And doesn't that maybe limit people if they're like, oh, I don't want to take too big of a risk, so maybe I'll do something smaller to make sure that I get it done?
For sure. And then you can come to the next mastermind and say, and you can be really proud to say, I did it, but actually I did more than that. I also did this and this. That's very welcome. That's great.
Mm.
But I mean, the goal and of course, the bigger the goal is, the more you will advance. So it's also very challenging. Like, okay, I think I can do this. And then you start thinking about that. And it's really, I think I can do this. And if not, I will find a way, but I will do this.
Okay, yeah. Sure. The commitment is very important.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Cool. So that's how you define masterminds in two rounds of discussion, right?
Yeah, that's it. And then the facilitator just makes sure that these two rounds are made and takes note of the commitments.
Mm. Okay.
So the next mastermind actually begins with that part. Each member in the first round will talk about their barriers at this moment, but they will start talking about how did they do with the commitment from last mastermind.
Cool. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And
very simple, but very, really very effective.
Yeah, for sure. To get a more concrete view, is there like some kind of timing, or how do the different rounds look like? And also you said that everybody speaks their own problem and then the people fire solutions at them. Mm-hmm. Is it important to allocate specific amounts of time for each person?
It's important that every person have enough time to talk. That's very important. But of course, I mean, if the mastermind lasts for 6 hours, I guess people will be too tired to talk about last person problems. So, I mean, we all need to be a bit respectful with that, right? I mean, we try to do that as fast as possible, but at the end, at the same time, be relaxed. Just to give an example, for 10 people, maybe I will allocate like 2 hours.
Wow. Okay, that doesn't sound like too much, actually, 2 hours.
No, it's let's take it like a team meeting. Mm-hmm. It will last more or less like that.
Yeah.
And if you finish earlier, you can go and grab a beer. I mean, the informal meetings on this are very important too. People need to be relaxed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And one anecdote from, I have a mastermind. Well, I recently joined one with a coaching friend, and this one is about helping us grow our coaching business. And we hardly ever get through each person. So that's why I'm wondering about timings. But I always gain something from if like another person is talking about their problem. It's usually something super similar to what I have. And then I can also absorb the information there. So that can be useful if it's like a specific one of growing our coaching business, which is the mastermind.
Sure, you learn a lot,
yeah.
A lot from every person.
Yeah, that is super cool. And have you been doing them a lot online now? I'm wondering how that differentiates.
Actually, I have never tried to do that online. Well, I did it for the first time online last week,
Ooh.
But it was actually just an introduction. Mm. It was for this group, Learning Rebellion, a group working on LinkedIn for people interested in teaching or facilitation or actually Yes, facilitation and teaching, but with new methodologies or trying to question the status quo on how we have done it so far.
Cool.
So they just try to bring different perspectives, points of view. So they wanted to try this. They wanted to try Mastermind. But actually, we meet for just 1 hour. Once a month, so I introduce the concept and the process, how we do it. So actually, we just had maybe 15, 20 minutes to work in groups of 4 people, things like that. So of course, I mean, it was just an introduction. I can't take it as a real mastermind. And then they engage on a commitment that they will give back. In well, next week now, because they had 2 weeks to do it. But I mean, many of them are interested in starting a mastermind, but I don't know at the end if this will happen or not. So actually, it wasn't a regular mastermind, it was just an introduction.
Yeah. Do you feel like...
But I'm curious. I'm curious about how that will work.
Yeah. And plus, there are so many tools for facilitating masterminds online. I think, like, we're just making post-it boards, which is super cool. Hey, what's up? You've reached the mid-episode break, listening to The Learning Experience. Yes, we just changed our name. It's a podcast provided by Trainers Forum, which you can check out at trainersforum.org to connect with us and learn more, and also with myself at oscarward.com. with all the links being in the description. As I said at the beginning, if you're enjoying this podcast, we have a Patreon account where you can support the podcast monetarily from as little as 2 euros. But also, taking a screenshot of this episode right now and sharing it on social media helps a ton. Tag Trainers Forum on LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook. Share it with your friends. And of course, make sure to tag myself, Oscar All Day on Instagram, or Oscar War everywhere else. If you want to be really involved, you can send us a voice message using the last link in the description to ask any future guests specific questions, or to simply leave a comment, because I love listening to those. The support really helps. And right now, 2 euros can make a huge difference so that we can get an editor to make these more consistently and more awesome. Check out the links in the description and enjoy the rest of this episode. So for people who want to start their mastermind, what would you tell them? Like, maybe a person is struggling with a problem, and but they don't know anybody that has the same problem. That could be one issue. Or what would be like a good approach of asking, hey, you want to come in my mastermind?
Great. So, well, for sure, I will define the scope. At the beginning, for example, your like the one you said right before, a group for coach that want to advance, that want, well, to learn more, to have more clients. So it could be a group of coaches. Once you have defined that, I will have at least a rough idea on how often you want to meet. Let's say it's not the same thing if you want to meet every day or once a month.
Yeah.
So at least something like that. And then if you want to do that online or you want to find people in your town. And then, for example, if you want to do that online, I will just approach people that you know that could fit there, or just post something on LinkedIn saying that, I mean, any place that you think that you could find people, and say that you are trying to start a mastermind with this scope, that the original idea is to meet once every month for 2 hours online. I mean, trying to start to defining it.
Yeah.
So people, but that you are open to see what the people want. So once you start having some feedback from people, you can do a first, for example, online meeting, define that, the scope, how often you will meet, for how long, and where you will meet, and who will be the facilitator.
Yeah. That's
it.
Simple.
Pretty much.
The
I think so, but I tend to think that when things are as simple as possible, then you can focus on the real problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need to be tools. They don't need to be the problem itself.
Yeah, true. Also, the facilitator can change every time, right?
It's what I was thinking now. Actually, as I have worked, the facilitator was always the same person. Mm. What will it change if the facilitator changes? I guess that actually, as if the group actually are on track, in that case, you don't even need a facilitator. I mean, everyone can be responsible for keeping the group on tracking.
Yeah.
And in that case, you can even change the facilitator every time, and someone could have these two roles, facilitator and member,
mm-hmm.
because everyone needs to engage on a commitment for next session. But why not? Yeah, I will try that.
Cool. Yeah, that's really great. Mm-hmm. Then one question that came to mind, because, well, masterminds are all about solving a person's problem, and so is coaching. So I'm wondering, what's the differences between why would a person create a mastermind or versus get a coach?
Actually, for me, so different.
Mm.
Actually, it's like, there are very useful tools and very different tools.
Yeah, I mean, the solutions come from different places. Coaching, it's from the person themselves. Mastermind is from the other people.
It's actually, with coaching, is the coachee that needs to find his or her own solutions and make an engagement. That's the common point. And then on masterminds, you hear the solutions from different people,
mm-hmm.
but then you also make your own engagement. So on engagement, maybe both techniques or tools are the same. But then on the solution, as you said, actually on coaching, it comes from the coachee. And on masterminds, you hear solutions from other members. And then on coaching, you have so many powerful questions. I mean, the coach is actually addressing the session to help the coachee find his answers. And it helps him with powerful questions and now some techniques. And masterminds is much more simple. There are no techniques, no powerful questions. But imagine that, for example, a facilitator is a coach.
Yeah.
Probably he will use both.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
To make it even more powerful.
That's cool.
To address it when necessary.
Yeah.
It's more like, more than coaching, I will say it's more like mentoring. But you don't have one mentor, you have the rest of the group are mentors.
Which is really nice as well. And also that makes me think that the mastermind is awesome because it keeps you accountable from like four different people that want you to succeed, whereas the coaching is just one person.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And then you have their support.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally it's not meant to be like that, but actually the personal relations are very strong. So probably during these 2 weeks or a month, you will come back to them and tell them, listen, this solution is not working to me, and they will come with other solutions. And
yeah, for sure. What about in between session? Do you recommend that people keep in touch or like update each other on their goals? Or is it?
I wouldn't. I mean, we are all lacking of time. So it's not necessary. If it happens, it's okay. But it's not necessary.
No.
But it happens a lot, of course. I mean, they become like your family.
Yeah, and you probably want to share some small wins or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens, of course.
Is there anything that people shouldn't do in masterminds? Any like challenges that shouldn't be addressed?
I think it's very open, and that's the great thing of masterminds. You can talk about any barrier.
Yeah.
The other day, for example, someone was, there was a mastermind, and someone was talking about she didn't know what to buy for his boyfriend for his birthday. And it's like, it was like, okay, that's not related at all. We can talk about that later with a beer. But then she say like, but actually it obsesses me so much that I can't focus on my work.
Wow.
And it's like, okay, well, that's related now. But we didn't talk about the present itself. Mm. We just talk about how you can concentrate on your work and how you can commit. Mm. Okay, but what is that stopping you to do now? Yes, because I need to prepare this meeting and I'm not preparing that because I can't concentrate. Okay, allocate tomorrow to find a present for your boyfriend. And you bring your meeting prepared for next session. Mm. So in that case, okay, it becomes a mastermind issue.
Huh. That's awesome. I think we've covered a lot of what the mastermind is. I would love to hear, how are you working with masterminds, you said, in Burkina Faso or in the...
Well, not in Burkina Faso. Actually, in Burkina Faso, I had a logistics agency for vehicles, so it had nothing to do.
I know.
But I mean, we provided vehicles for a refugee camp for different NGOs working with a refugee camp. So actually, it made me go to the meetings of UNHCR. And actually, on these meetings, I just learned a lot about migrants from a different perspective, mostly logistics and how it works in refugee camps. And as I'm a migrant myself, because I've been living in many different countries, I just proposed them some things that could help migrants to adapt easier. And I know that they are still using this. But at that point, actually, I wasn't yet in contact with refugees. Mm-hmm. I was just at Ouagadougou, the main city,
yeah,
in Burkina Faso. And at that point, no, I was working more with expats. And expat's wife to help them adapt to the new destination. Mm. And I wasn't using yet the mastermind.
Ah, okay. Did you use masterminds to help migrants integrate with the society?
Well, some few years ago, when I came back to Spain, I started a group it's addressed to Spanish migrants, just because I couldn't find much information in Spanish. That's one thing. And the other thing, just it was quite a technical issue. I mean, if you know that you are addressing to people from Spain, there are some decisions that you do differently than if you are addressing to all Latin migrants. I mean, for example, if you're talking about what our passport allows us to do or not, makes things much easier. So I started this group 3 years ago. And one of the things we did is that we created a mastermind group for people coming back to Spain. In this case, we did that in Madrid. That's where I'm living now. And it was super interesting for me. I didn't want to have only my point of view on migrations. I wanted to know if other people think the same and how do they deal with that? How do they cope? So
yeah,
it wasn't, we did a mastermind, but it was more open than that. Actually,
more like brainstorming.
Yeah, brainstorming, but I try different things. For example, I will bring poems that talks about migration in a very positive way or very negative way, and I will make them decide which one do they prefer or which one didn't they like at all and why.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was great because, for example, we started talking about, people will talk about how do they miss a mountain from the previous city and started crying. And it was like, okay, wow. It's not only that you miss people, you miss nature too, or you miss the sight from your window. There are so many things that we don't talk about. So it was very, very helpful, because people could talk openly about many things, and
awesome.
It will help people just heal.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a way of creating a supportive community, I imagine, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't need to be, I mean, mastermind is more solving a problem, but that is a really cool way of...
I didn't announce it as a mastermind. There was a part of mastermind too, because people will talk also about, I can't find a flat, or I don't know, I can't find a job. Mm-hmm. So also we will use the mastermind, but it was a bit different. We use some other things too. I wanted to understand better how people feel about migrations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, maybe less structured.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other tools you would use along with masterminding? Like you said, you work in change management. Is there some way to...
Mm-hmm. I actually,
add on?
No, I don't work on change management. I'm very interested on that. I have worked in many different things related to, like, for example, this group of people returning to their country. But no, I have worked on many different things, like sales and project management, operations, mm-hmm. opening a company. Has nothing to do. It's only that I'm obsessed about how people deal with change and with migrations, mostly. And different tools. The mutual aid groups are a bit different because they are less structured.
Mm-hmm.
For example, this group returning to Spain, this was a mutual aid group.
Okay.
And I will offer that as that. And then, for example, in Montreal, I created a group for refugees that arrived to Montreal. It was women. And they did things with their hands. They did some handcrafts. And then we used to sell them. And it was very very special too, because when people work with their hands, they tend to be more open in their mind. So it's easier for them to talk about some problems. Or that's what I have realized.
Yeah, and I think that is true. And that's super interesting, adding like an activity to do while you speak about the problem or the points of the mastermind.
Yeah, at the beginning it was only that I wanted to be, as I said, I love learning about migrants, so I wanted to create a new group. Mm-hmm. And they told me that there were a group of women. So that was in one hand. And then because I love handcrafts in Burkina Faso, I know how many cool things people do. I thought maybe they can learn from each other. And at the beginning, it was just that. And then I thought, okay, and they can sell that. And it will, in one hand, it will make them feel that they are doing something useful.
Yeah.
Probably bring some money to home. And it will also create a dialogue with people in the country so they can... talk about their countries, and it can approach them that in one hand, and then actually the purpose was not that much so they talk to each other, but actually I realized that
that's important.
Yeah, and that it worked. Actually, it opened. I worked on something also many years ago. It was very interesting. We created one of the first community gardens in Madrid, and it's in Lavapiés. Lavapiés is a quarter in Madrid where there is a lot of migration, like immigrants from different countries. And actually, it was in 2007 to 2008. something like that. And it, at that point, it was quite a dangerous quarter with immigrants, and there were a lot of conflict.
Okay.
And it was so interesting because actually, well, we just did it in, well, in the middle of the quarter, and we just wanted to use an empty field. I don't remember the name for that.
Exactly, a plot of land.
Yeah, thank you. So we just wanted to use it for something. So we opened a community garden, and so people could come and water the plants, and they could come and pick up some tomatoes. But then, actually, we realized that, for example, old people will come and thank us because they said that it was the first activity that they could do with their grandchildren, and that the grandchildren were not bored, because they could run around and they will ask a lot of questions. Why do they, how long do this plant take to grow up? Or I don't know. And they found their grandparents useful at that point. So it will approach them. And also you will find many, many conversations, for example, between a Moroccan and an old woman discussing about how they will grow tomatoes because they had different techniques.
Oh, wow. That is
but
so cool.
It made them approach.
Yeah, and that emphasizes the power of community and how important it is to connect with people.
And finally, yeah, one thing brings to another. I mean, that, for example, brought me to create this group in Montreal. If they have something to do with their hands together, probably that will create some dialogue.
Yeah. Is there anything that hasn't been said around communities or masterminds that you'd like to add?
Well, there are lots of masterminds out there, but of course I encourage people to have one. It's something that you need to try, and of course I hope it can help a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's super important. Like, I did recently make one with some friends who like to write. So we're doing it around writing and just, yeah, supporting each other in our writing, basically. It's less structured than my coaching one, but it's very cool because we just talk about what we write still. So that creates the part of the community.
Sure.
Yeah. Unless you want to add anything else, what would you ask people to take action on after listening to this episode?
Of course. I mean, if it's something that interests them, they can try to engage on a mastermind or create their own one. And then, of course, I love to have feedback from people and help if possible. So if anyone wants to contact me for that, I'm open to that too.
Nice. I would also say to people that they should join the LinkedIn group where I found you, where we met each other. Called Learning Rebellion, because that's pretty cool for at least for facilitators, since I think a lot of listeners are part of that group.
Yeah, and it's a very international group, so yeah, everyone is welcome.
Yeah. Where can people connect with you if they want to learn more? Is LinkedIn the best place, or where else?
Yeah, I think so. LinkedIn, and you can, well, my name is Patricia Macia. Macia is M for mom, A for America, C for Charlie, I for Italy, A for America. And I think that's the best way. I'm ending a website now, but that will be mostly, well, that will be in Spanish. That will be for these Spanish migrants.
Cool.
So if anyone speaks Spanish or feels interested on that, of course, it's very welcome. The website will be, and I think I will end it today or tomorrow. It's españolesmigrantes.org.
Nice. That's awesome. I mean, I can include the links in the description anyway with the podcast.
Okay, cool.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Patricia, for talking with me today. It was super interesting to hear about all this.
Thank you very much, Oscar. It was great to practice talking on a podcast. It's not something I'm used to do.
I think it went super well.
Perfect.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Do you have one more minute to stick around? I just have a couple of things to tell you. Firstly, we have the Patreon account, where you can support us from as little as 2 euros, and this will go to growing the podcast. What I'm hoping to do soon is to hire an editor or get a new microphone, because honestly, editing the podcast is a bit of a pain in the butt, but any financial support that we can get really helps. Just check out the link in the bio where it says Patreon, and it would mean the world to me. Thank you so much. And secondly, if you want to get even more information and inspiration about this podcast and Trainers Forum, make sure to join our group and like the page on Facebook called Trainers Forum, because that's where we announce everything from events to meetups to workshops, which happen all over Europe. We also have a website, which you can just Google, called Trainers Forum. Thank you so much for listening again. Really appreciate it. Remember to share this with your friends and other trainers who might find this useful. Next episode is out in 2 weeks. So until next time, see you and have a great day.